this report does not focus explicitly on how we're going to finance these corridors, but it does focus on where you get the biggest bang for your buck, because you want to build rail corridors that will be used. You want to have full trains, not empty trains. And to the extent that you can attract riders, you can offset some of your operating costs, maybe even much of your operating costs, depending on that your success in gaining riders. For example, the existing service on the Northeast Corridor today, which connects Boston to New York to Washington, D.C., and the major cities in between, that rail service run by Amtrak actually generates a net operating revenue from the fares collected for those tickets and those rides. So that's a possibility when you're investing in corridors that will gain ridership. So we looked at every region in the country and we pinpointed what's the most promising corridor to start with in each region. And we think that it makes sense for states and the federal government to invest in those most promising corridors first so that you can demonstrate success and perpetuate and have a sustainable long-term program, because it's going to take multiple decades for us to build a national system of rail corridors like it took 50 years to build the interstate highway system. So we want to start with routes that work, routes that are very attractive to riders. And then if we want to extend to places that take time for the market to build, that's something we should consider as well. I mean, after all, that's what we did with the interstate highway system. You know, there weren't necessarily strong demand for highway routes through Wyoming when we first built them, but it developed over time. So when we're talking about a national network, there are cases to be made for investing in many places around the country, but we think it makes sense to invest first in the places with the greatest demand for ridership.